The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all they had taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." People were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity even to eat. So they went off in the boat by themselves to a deserted place. People saw them leaving, and many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot and from all the towns and arrived at the place before them. When Jesus disembarked, he saw the vast crowd. His heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. He began to teach them many things. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
One thing I want to point out about this gospel, to begin with, is something of the mystery of time. Notice the apostles had gone out two by two and so on, and been curing the sick. And the text said they anointed them with oil and cured the sick. They preached the gospel, announced the kingdom of God, and now they've come back to the Lord to report. And the Lord says to them, "Now look, it's time for a little rest, R&R action, and get out there in the boat, and let's relax and talk and pray." So it's time for rest. Now there's this mystery of time that is, you know, sometimes we just sort of take things as for granted. We hardly reflect on why is this so. The example that I want to give you is that why do we need rest? I mean, I don't know, but we do. But it doesn't necessarily follow the way we're designed that we should have to need rest. I mean, for example, our heart muscle never rests. It may be a little slower when we're sleeping, but it doesn't necessarily follow. I mean, couldn't we just sort of be able, our cells and everything, be able to just kind of regenerate and take? But again, we just say, well, we need rest because we need rest. But I'm just asking you to enter into the kind of head scratching why. I mean, why do we need rest? And then here's another mystery of time that I present to you today. Why do we age at the rate we do? Now you say, well, I don't know. We do because we do. Why is 80 to, 100 years is our allotted portion? The scriptures say that in the earliest days, some of the men of old lived to be 900 years old, and that rate came way down to, 70 or 80 years for those who are strong, and maybe it's edged up a little with modern health care, but again, why not 900 years? Why 100 years, And why does my cat, Daniel, who's pretty much built in a very similar way, the basic, cell structure and everything very similar, his clock is 15 years, but mine is 80 or 90. And why do some parrots live to be 125 years old? And I think elephants live quite elderly, to be quite old. And yet, we look at their structure. I mean, they're not that dissimilar from us, right? I mean, they're basically mammals, and and so, again, we just sort of, we just kind of go through and we never stop and reflect on these things. And I'm just asking you to just take a minute and say, what's this all about? Why is this so? And there isn't really an answer, except that God has put this clock in all of us. And of course, some of us will live to be a healthy, 85, 90 years old or whatever, and some of us will die in our 60s. But there's this clock that ticks. And the reason I simply point out this mystery to you is, first of all, I think it's good for us sometimes to confront sort of head-scratching things that don't really have an answer, and the scientists really can't say, well, here's why. And it's just good to sometimes sort of do this, to sort of enter into the mystery of what the way things are. But here's the other thing that is a call to humility, isn't it? God's in control. And he said that my cat has 15 years and I have, theoretically anyway, 80 to 90 years to live. And elephants more, whatever. But God has given everything and appointed everything to its time. And then we come back to this gospel and the mystery of our need for rest. It is completely wasteful from a worldly point of view to rest. And it not only is it wasteful, but it's dramatically wasteful that we have to spend one third of our day sleeping. That is very wasteful. But God has set it up this way. And again, this is a call to kind of enter in a little bit to the mystery of time and the mystery of God. It is a total waste of time to lie in the sack for 8 hours out of 24. And it's, but there it is. And God says, I want you to do it. And then he says, of all, in addition to this extravagant rest, I want you to take one day off. Sabbath, you know, for us, Sunday. One day, just don't do anything. I mean, well, worship and pray, get to church. But just don't strive. Stop all this striving and I'm going to catch up and I'm going to do all this work. And stop it. Just stop. Actually sit down, get to know each other again, talk, reflect, rest, enjoy the fruits of your labor. You think of all the commandments, we'd get that one right. But we don't. Anyway, the point is that there is this dramatically extravagant and remarkable thing that God tells us to do. One third of our day, sleep. You know, and frankly, in addition, we need some rest and recreation in addition to that. But again, take one day off of the seven. Just do this, you see. This is the way I've made you. This is the way I've designed you. And again, from a worldly point of view, a complete waste of resources, God. Why did you set it up this way? Why should we need to rest? I mean, shouldn't we just be able to, you know, our cells and whatever just regenerate on their own and just, you know, why, you know? But apparently fish don't sleep, not like we do. Although I've seen them, they kind of go into this sort of... But again, you see what I'm saying? We just have to... Again, we're laughing a little bit today and so on because these are sort of like, you hardly ever think about this. It's just sort of the way things are. And we just say, well, this is the way it is because this is the way it is. But what's God saying to us? He's saying, look, he's saying, I need for you to first of all have some humility. You are not as powerful and as strong as you think you are. You are so weak, you need to sleep one third of your day. That's pretty extravagant. And you need rest and recreation. You need to come aside. You need to reflect. And your whole purpose in life is not just to work. That is not the only reason I made you. And this is a very important lesson for us because we live in an age where people are largely judged based on their utility. You know, you can do this, so you're useful, you're approved, and if you can't anymore, well, now we need to start looking at, again, you see this horrible problem we're beginning to have now with euthanasia and how we treat the elderly and the others who are infirm or sick. The Terry Schiavos of the world who are in what they call vegetative states. What a horrifying term. Horrifying. No human being is ever a vegetable. Are we clear on that? A human being is a human being, never a vegetable. So I would hope that we as Christians would banish this kind of talk. This so-called vegetative state is people don't vegetate. People are people. You see, they're not vegetables. So we have this, people who are in somewhat coma. I used to, when I was a seminarian, go out into the local area, and there was a place where the profoundly mentally impaired were there, and many of them were just like Terry Schiavo. Basically, they were sort of alert and alive, but you really couldn't interact with them in a normal way. And now we're saying we got to be able to just pull these people, stop feeding them, and let them die of starvation, and because they're no longer, quote, useful. And who would want to live a life if you couldn't be useful? You know, at some point, I think all of us struggle with sickness, with setbacks, maybe a broken arm or something that sort of where God calls us to say, I want you to understand something that you're not always going to be as useful as your pride tells you you want to be. You've got to just stop and realize that your dignity isn't just in what you can do. I do have things for you to do, and we'll take care of that, says the Lord. But your dignity is this, that before I ever formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. That I knit you together in your mother's womb. That every one of your days was written in my book before one of them ever came to be. That you're not a mistake. You're not an accident. It's not about you being useful. It's about you being an object of my love. It's about you being a human being that I love and I treasure. And that's the source of your dignity. And every now and then, some of us have setbacks where we're quite ill. we maybe again, as I say, are impaired in some way through a broken bone or through some injury. We have to become unuseful. And we feel so bad about ourselves. Oh gosh, I'm just nothing but a burden to everybody. You know, our pride goes to work and we start to do all that stuff. And maybe God is saying, you know, I want you to learn something, that you're not just good because you're useful, you're good because I said you're good. And so here the Lord tells these apostles, look, stop striving for a minute and come aside and rest. Now, again, I'll say one more word about maybe why in a minute, but stop striving for a minute. And just be with me, says the Lord. Just be with me. Every now and then God will send a magnificent snowstorm of 2 feet. And we all have to stop striving. And you know, some people love to be cranky. I hate snow. But frankly, deep down inside, there's a little kid in all of us that likes snow and is happy to finally say, thank God, I have to stop for a few minutes. I can't go and do the 80 things I was supposed to do this week. I'm just going to have to sit in and just rest a little. You know, there's every now and then I think God sends a snowstorm. And I think, Lord, we're overdue for one. Send us a deep one. And you know, families actually are together in the same house, believe it or not. The husband and the wife are actually together in the same house at the same time. Kids actually, you know, they might even actually have a meal together. Imagine that. It's just unthinkable, right, today. They might actually sleep in a little. And yes, other things happen. They kind of get on each other's nerves. A little cabin fever sets in. But in the end, God is sort of saying, stop striving for a minute. Get to know each other again. There are things more important in life than what you do. Actually getting to know your family, love them, have a few arguments, work it out, deal with some of this stuff, but actually be with each other. Now, your sisters are dedicated to living in community. But again, you know, so many of our families, there's hardly any community in them anymore. They're just place. It's a place where it's a sort of dormitory where you sleep and you run off and do things, and the parents hardly know the kids, and the kids hardly know the parents, and sad, tragic. And so every now and then God sends us these reminders, whether it's a snowstorm, we lose our health, whether it's just something that makes us stop striving for a minute and to reflect on the fact that perhaps there are things more important in life than merely what I do, all the striving. And God has this clock that's ticking. And you know, I'm at the height of my game now. I'm 47, I'm pastoring a parish, and you know, I have a lot of talents and things that are at work right now. This is where I am, but there's going to be a day, if things go as I, you know, you would think they would go, I'll be no longer able to pastor a parish. My mind will begin to no longer be sharp enough, or my physical strength, and I'll have to step back and hand over the reins to someone else. I may spend the last 10 years of my life in a nursing home. Who knows? You know, but in the end, these are important stages of our life. We need to understand that old age is probably a very important stage that we go through. It's not that we're no longer useful, but God is beginning to get us to a place where we're letting go of the world. He's humbling our pride, because we can't walk into God with big pride and say, here I am, you know. We have to have humility to come into God's presence. And so there's very powerful things that happen, even on our deathbed. I saw it happen with my father, you know, and my grandmother. As they went through the dying process, they were letting go, and they were able to finally say, with real authenticity, not just saying a slogan, I just want to be with God. That's all I want now. That's all I want. Beautiful Psalm 27, right? There's only one thing I ask of the Lord. This alone I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold His face. That's all I want, just to be with God. So these moments of frailty, of humility, where we need rest, where we need to stop, are meant to be moments where we kind of stop and we ponder, where am I really going with my life? What's really taking place? And moments where we begin to see that our health is failing and the clock starts ticking and we begin to see our death approaching. These are moments where God helps us to begin to get focused and reflect on what's really important in life. It's not everything we've done. Those are nice. It's nice that we've been able to do some good things for other people. That's good. But in the end, what makes me great is that I know God. And so again, sometimes God has to say, stop. Just stop striving for a minute. The most important thing in your life. You can make $1 million and found a business and and still go to hell. The most important thing in life is that you know me. That you love me, and that you're in touch with me, because I want you to spend the rest of your life with me. And so again, all of these ideas, these mysteries of time, and where God says, in a way, pause, stop, whether it's through death or the need for rest that we have, and we just sort of unreflectively say, oh, I guess I got to sleep. Well, why? Well, maybe because God needs to say, stop. You know the psalm we sing in the office? Psalm says, you who toil for the bread you eat, you know, you're in vain as you're getting up earlier and you're going later to rest, you who toil for the bread you eat, because God pours gifts on his beloved while they slumber. Who knows what gifts God pours on us while we slumber? Well, again, I've gone on too long. It's time for me to stop, to pause. So they're always going to say other things about how they get back to work. There's a place for rest and so on. And it's meant to rejuvenate us and get us ready for mission and so on. And yes, you'll connect all those dots. But in the end, what might God be saying to us about this pause that he's built into our life? The pause of our need for rest and the crazy clock that seems so erratic in different animals. All mammals, very similar construction, but one gets 15 years, the other gets 80, another one gets 120. Why? How come? I don't know. But God just said, here's your clock. I'm in charge. Follow the rhythms or pay the price. So again, we have this clock. And God says, part of what I'm expecting, in fact, an extravagant, wasteful thing that I built into your schedule is rest, the pause, to stop, to ponder, to pray, to get centered, and to remember what's really important is that I made you, I love you, and I know you, and I invite you to know me and to love me. Amen.